Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Just an Illusion, The B-Side, by D. Kelly, narrated by Tracy Marks. The world breaks everyone, and afterward, many are strong at the broken places. Ernest Hemingway. Amelia, present day. 2 years after the tour. Stories are meant to be told. Those six words continue to swirl around in my mind. What was I thinking? As my heart aches this morning, I'm leaning toward the mindset that stories should stay in the vault. The one between friends and acquaintances who witness them happening in real time. Some things don't need to be rehashed and reshared. Good memories will live on in our hearts. And the bad ones can burn in hell where they belong. But I made a promise to myself and to them I would do this. After all this time, it's important to stick to my word. Once this part of the story is written, I'm hoping the next one will come to me easier. Then, maybe, I can finally wrap up this chapter of my life, which has been hanging in the balance for far too long. Maybe someday I'll share these words with my friends and our family. But this isn't the story the public wants to hear. They want to know about the fame, the accolades, and the fun times. They don't want to know the down and dirty secrets of Bad's love life and intimate family moments. Admittedly, it felt good to finally write again. Maybe it was the wine. When I finally crashed last night, I was exhausted and more than a little drunk. Even so, morning came quickly today. And I was excited to greet it. Truth be told, I had a breakthrough, one I felt with every fiber of my being, physically, emotionally, and with a wide-open heart, I let it all in. It's been 2 years since I've let myself reflect on the tour with any fond memories. When I woke up an hour ago, I couldn't wait to dive back in and let myself go back to a happier place. Writing this story feels good. And I want to finish it while I have time, so I can finally give him an answer. But then I booted up my computer and remembered where I left off. The shooting. And that's when my mood went to shit. We were caught off guard. It's amazing how a split second can change everything. We'd been aware earlier that evening, diligent, responsible. And even with all the shit surrounding us, Noah and I found our place with each other that night. Nothing or no one could take that away from us. We were so naive. Sometimes crazy things happen in this world, and sometimes crazy people do. That night, we suffered the misfortune of both. I've spent the past few years blocking out the bad parts. I think that's why I passed out when I did last night. Alcohol or not, it's a hard place and time to revisit. Today is a new day, albeit a rainy one, and with my coffee in hand, I'm ready to tackle getting the rest of this story down on paper. Or, I guess, computer is more accurate. My time is running out. I've only got 48 hours to give him an answer. I'm not any closer to one than I was yesterday, or the day before, or the months and years before that. I've never been an indecisive person. But this decision isn't only about him and me. There are so many other people in this equation, especially now. But our take on that is different, too. Which is why it's important I finish this story. Even though I'm writing it for me, it also feels like I'm writing it for them. If I can do that, write it for them, maybe when I'm done, I can write the book I actually do owe them. Hopefully, it will have been worth the wait. Chapter 1. Everything has changed. 3 years ago.
Is she hurt?
Frantic cries meet my ears, but I can't move. There's something weighing me down, squeezing the life out of me. Breathing hurts, and my top is wet. Why am I so wet?
I don't know. Fuck. Help me get this bitch off her.
Sawyer. I'd know his voice anywhere. He's going to save me. Help me breathe easier.
Why did you shoot?
Another voice screams, and it's not Noah.
I had the shot. Even if I didn't, she would have killed her if I didn't try.
Mac, what is going on? I try pushing myself up, and a groan escapes me. My arm is tucked under my body. It fucking hurts. Suddenly, air fills my lungs, and the pressure is gone. Gasping heavily, I blink my eyes a few times, but everything is blurry, tinged in red. Someone pulls me free and begins wiping my face with a cloth. That's good. Maybe I won't be so wet now.
Princess, fuck. Are you okay? The ambulance is on its way. Please tell me you're all right.
The cloth presses harder against my eyes, scrubbing at them. Why can't I see, Sawyer? Where's Noah?
She's okay, he calls out. Alive,
he corrects, as he carefully pulls my arm toward him, causing me to squeal in pain. Fuck, that stings like a bitch.
He's here, and he's still breathing. Help is coming, Princess. Your eyes are okay now. You just got something in them. We'll get them flushed, and you'll be fine. Help will be here soon.
Sawyer wraps me in his arms and hugs me close to him. He's not wearing a shirt. There's nothing but bare skin under my embrace. That doesn't hold my attention long, because from the way he's breathing, and the moisture dripping onto my cheeks, it's obvious he's crying. Poor Sawyer. He must have been terrified. But why? Sarah. She was going to shoot me. Then I remember the shot.
She shot me?
No, I don't feel shot. I don't think. What the fuck just happened? My frantic cries are muffled as Sawyer tightens his arms around me. I'm trying to blink my eyes open and closed, but whatever is on me is sticky, and my eyelashes keep sticking together.
Jay, how's he doing?
Sawyer calls out, still holding on to me in the SUV.
He's okay. He's starting to move. I think she just knocked him out.
The relief in Jay's voice is shadowed in fear. Hearing the trepidation in his tone kicks me into gear.
You left, and she... Shit! Noah!
The fear I felt earlier floods back into my heart.
Ryan hit the panic button on his phone, and Mac turned right back around. Thank God he did. We were a split second away from her killing you. Jesus, Princess. What happened?
With his pleading tone, I pull away, blinking my eyes harder and faster, finally getting my lashes to separate and open fully. Sawyer glances from my face to my arm, but my arm wins his attention as he presses his shirt to it.
Shit, that stings, I hiss. Sorry,
he winces.
I think the bullet grazed you. It's not too bad, but you'll probably need stitches or something. It's still bleeding.
Is that why I'm wet? Why is there so much blood? He avoids my question and looks over his shoulder.
It's going to be okay,
he reaffirms, as the sounds of the sirens grow closer. Mere seconds pass before their lights are flashing in the window behind us.
I need to be with Noah.
He nods reluctantly and carefully helps me out of the SUV. The paramedics are surrounding Noah, hooking him up to IVs and machines. My eyes take in the scene around us. Sarah lies on the ground about 3 feet away from us. Her eyes are wide open, lifeless, and she's covered in blood. So am I realize, as I look down at my chest.
Oh my God!
The scream escapes my mouth long before it ever catches up to my ears. My body begins to collapse, but Sawyer catches me and holds me steady. Instantly, the rest of the memories flood my mind, but my eyes close, and before I know it, I'm floating on a cloud. The steady beeping of a monitor burrows itself into my head. My eyes flutter open, and Sawyer is at my bedside, holding my hand. No longer covered in blood, I'm wearing a blue and white hospital gown, and he's wearing scrubs. My head feels a bit heavy, but I'm calm. There's a bandage wrapped around my upper arm now, too, but there's no pain. When our eyes meet, his pain is palpable. Sawyer wears every emotion he's got in the depths of his eyes. He looks like a broken man, and I'm terrified to ask about Noah. Tears gather in the corners of my eyes, and as they begin to fall, he wipes them away. Noah? His name falls from my lips like a whispered prayer. Sawyer's expression falls slightly, but he recovers quickly.
He's okay, as far as we know. He woke up briefly, and he's having a CT scan and an MRI. The doctors think it's just a bad concussion. He'll need some stitches and some time off, but he's okay. Both of you are.
Squeezing my hand tighter, he chokes out the words as his own tears fall. I can't imagine what this was like for him. Sawyer, I'm sorry. I know this must be your worst nightmare come true. He shakes his head and scoots as close to me as he can get, leaning his head against mine.
No, my worst nightmare would have been if I'd gotten there a second later. You're safe, Princess, and so is Noah. That makes everything right in my book.
I feel safe curled up with Sawyer, especially since I can't be with Noah right now. What about Ryan? Please tell me he's okay.
Yeah, Ryan is fine. He feels awful, but he's okay. It looks like Sarah had a few friends helping her out. I don't know much, just that they've both been arrested, pending further investigation.
What kind of friends would help someone do what she did? I'm furious. For all of us, Sarah included. They should have gotten her psychological help.
I don't know. I'm just glad Mac got her. I only hate you got shot in the crossfire,
he says with a reluctant sigh. I was shot?
It's technically a superficial gunshot wound. The bullet went through her and grazed your arm. The doctors cleaned it, gave you a tetanus shot, and started antibiotics. You don't even need stitches, just wound care. God, Princess, you were so fucking lucky tonight.
His pained words send shivers through my body. We were all lucky, except for Sarah. I heard the shot. She had just put the gun against my head. Then there was a flash of red and nothing but blackness. I thought... Sawyer nods, understanding my unfinished sentence.
She almost did,
he whispers reluctantly.
When we pulled up, she was screaming at you. We used her distraction to inch closer. As soon as she put the gun to your head, Mac took the best shot he had. Fuck. I'm not sure I've ever been so scared.
His hands tremble in mine with the wavering of his voice. Gripping my hand tighter, he continues.
The blood from her wound sprayed on you, and when her body fell onto yours, I guess it knocked the wind out of you, or you passed out from the pain and shock. I'm not sure. It all happened so fast. Jay and Mac were checking Noah. I couldn't.
His tears begin falling again. But this time he shakes his head and pushes forward.
I had to maneuver around them all, but Noah was almost directly in front of the door. We didn't want to move him because of his head. I had to climb over Noah, without disturbing him, to get to the door so I could pull her off you. All the blood was hers, not yours. You're perfect, Princess, and you're still here with me.
I don't care if Jesus Christ himself is in there with her. You're going to let me see my sister. Belle's screams echo from the hall, and her tirade is the first thing to bring a small smile to my face. Sawyer brings my hand to his mouth and kisses me softly, then drops another kiss to my forehead before standing to defuse the situation so my pregnant best friend can calm down. Oh my God, Mel! She cries out when she sees me. Her tear-streaked face tells me all I need to know about how scary this was for her. Darren waits by the curtain with Sawyer and gives me a small wave and a smile to match. The sadness in his eyes is unmistakable. I'm okay, Belle. Calm down. It's not good for the peanut. The peanut is just as worried as I am, and she's manifesting her fear through me. Don't ever do this to me again. She climbs up and lies down next to me, crying as she hugs me fiercely. Belle, I'm sorry. My mind is still a bit foggy, and I want to cry, but for some reason, the tears aren't coming. Sawyer, did they give me something? I feel strange. He looks up with a half smile and nods.
You probably will for a while. They gave you something to calm you down, and it knocked you out immediately. Then they gave you some pain meds and antibiotics in your IV, so they could clean your wound and run some tests. The doctor said you'll probably be a bit out of it until tomorrow.
Sawyer is really keeping track of the details. I'm so thankful for him tonight. Belle, have you seen Noah? She looks up at me and wipes away her tears. No, babe, I just got here, and you were my only priority. Can you get someone to take me to him? Please. I need to see him and make sure they're not lying to me.
His bed is right on the other side of yours, Princess. That's why the curtain is pulled back in the middle. They're supposed to wheel him back here after his tests. I couldn't be in two places at once, so I managed to convince them to keep you both together.
Darren wraps his arm around Sawyer's shoulder and squeezes him tightly.
You did good, man.
Sawyer pulls him into a massive hug and sobs. The night is catching up to him. It's heartbreaking to witness. Where are Jordan, Ryan, and Mac? I'd really like to get eyes on everyone who was there tonight. I think it would make me feel a lot less apprehensive.
Jordan is in the waiting room with Ryan, waiting for everyone to get here. Mac is still at the scene, talking to the police.
Poor Jordan. I hope this doesn't mess with him. The two of them have been through so much already. I hate they're going through it again. Sawyer runs his hands through his hair in frustration. He's getting anxious Noah's not back too, I think. You have no idea how scared I was tonight, Mel. I can't lose you, and I'm glad that bitch is dead after what she did. Belle. Don't Belle me. You're the other half of my heart and soul. I'd be lost without you.
Ahem.
Darren fake coughs to pull Belle's attention to him. Don't be so easily offended. You know what I mean. You're all of that and a bag of chips for my romantic heart. But she's it for my family and best friend side. I'll never get another sister, just like I'll never get another you. Darren covers his heart and stumbles backward, as if catching her love. It makes me giggle. And for a split second, takes my mind off what could possibly be taking them so long with Noah.
I'm going to see if everyone is here and fill them in. Princess, do you need anything before I go?
No, thank you, Sawyer. I'm okay.
I'm going to go with him and let the two of you talk.
Darren says, as he leans down and kisses Belle, and then leans over and drops a kiss against my forehead.
Don't scare us like that again, he whispers before leaving.
Are you really okay? Belle asks softly, after Darren and Sawyer leave the room. I'm not sure. I think so, but I can't even think about myself until I know how Noah is doing. I poured my heart out to him tonight, Belle. Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe this is a sign I'm not supposed to get close to anyone. Oh, Mel, Belle says, as she softly strokes my hair. You deserve love as much as anyone, even more so. I've never told you the real reason I live by the motto, live today like there's no tomorrow, but maybe it's time. I always assumed it was because that sums up who you are in a nutshell. She nods and squeezes my hand. In part, yes. But the reason I live that way is because of you. Me? I'm surprised, and more than a little curious. With a sad smile, she continues. You're my sister, Mel, and a part of you died when you lost your mom. It took a while to get you over that hump of pain and sadness, but then you picked yourself up and went back on tour with Eli. Then, when your dad died, it was worse, and it took a lot longer to get you to recover, but you eventually did. Okay. I'm not quite following her, but maybe it's because of the meds. I admired you for that, for picking yourself back up and moving on. I know you had a lot to deal with, but you made the best of it. It's just, I also saw those dark days you lived before you moved on, and the only thing I wanted for you was happiness. I promised myself, no matter what it took, I was going to try and keep your dark days to a minimum. So that's when I adopted my motto. Was I really that bad? I whisper, leaning my head against hers. No, babe, you were that brave. I just wanted you to know that instead of dwelling on what you can't change, you have to live for now. You did that tonight, Mel. When you told Noah how you felt, you were living for the moment. And if things had gone differently, you'd be so glad he knew how you felt before either of you were gone. Thanks, Belle. I needed to hear that. Anytime, she says, snuggling in closer. So, how did Noah react to the news? A smile creeps onto my lips as I recall how happy he was. He was thrilled. That's not a big surprise. He already gave you the stars, but if he could, I'm sure he'd give you the moon, too. Miss Grayson, how are you feeling? A tall doctor with salt and pepper hair walks in, and Belle scrambles out of the bed and into the chair. Okay, a bit loopy. Mostly I'm concerned about Noah. He smiles as he finishes putting on his gloves and walks to my bedside. He shines a light into my eyes and checks my monitors. Do you remember me from earlier? He asks, taking a seat on a rolling stool. No, I'm sorry. Don't be. You've had a rough night. I'm Dr. Martin, head of the emergency department. Mr. Weston and I are old friends. You sent the cactus, I state matter-of-factly, and he chuckles. Yes, I did. Now, let me fill you in on what's been going on while you were napping. Noah has been asking for you. He's as concerned for you as you are him. But Noah is going to be fine. You both are. As a precaution, and as a favor, we're keeping you both overnight for observation. The two of you were extremely lucky tonight. Noah is going to be fine. The doctor wouldn't lie to me. Finally, I feel like I can breathe. I've had Noah taken directly upstairs to a private room. Your nurse will be in shortly to move you up there as well. People are already trying to sneak into the hospital for updates, so the sooner you're out of the emergency department, the better. Your vitals are stable, and your gunshot wound is superficial. Once your medication wears off, you'll be a bit achy, but a few days of pain medicine and antibiotics should fix you right up. And what about Noah? His eyes soften as they meet mine. Noah received some stitches, staples, and has a pretty severe concussion. Fortunately, we found no brain swelling or bleeding on his scans, but he will need to take a month off from touring. Concussions are serious. Movement and light could aggravate his pain. He may be forgetful, irritable, emotional, anxious, have trouble sleeping, or sleep a lot. He may also become dizzy, especially during the first week or two. Plan on spending a lot of time with him, and giving him more patience than normal. He'll likely be frustrated, because there's nothing you can do to promote healing a concussion, except taking it easy. Noah's going to hate that, but at least you two will get some one-on-one time, Belle says optimistically. He can hate it all he wants. He's alive, and that's all that matters. I'll tie him to the bed if I have to. My face flushes as I realize what I just said, but Dr. Martin only chuckles. You're not the first woman to threaten that. Tomorrow, one of the hospital psychologists will be coming up to speak with the two of you. After a traumatic incident, all of our patients go through an exit exam. It's only precautionary. You'll be given signs and symptoms to watch for, as well as treatment referrals and options if you feel you may need them. Great. Nothing like trying to figure out if I feel traumatized before what happened has sunk in. But Noah, he might be, so I need to keep an open mind. Okay, can I see Noah now? Please. I'm not above begging at this point. Young love, I remember those days. You two take care of each other, and tell Noah I'll see him tomorrow before he's discharged. Dr. Martin opens the curtain, and a nurse enters pushing a wheelchair. Jumping from the bed, I get a little dizzy, and have to grab onto the bed rail for support. Mel, let us help you, Belle chastises. Sorry, I didn't realize I wouldn't be okay. With their assistance, I get settled into the chair. I'll be okay, Belle. Go tell everyone I'm fine, and they're moving me up to Noah's room.
They already know.
Sawyer appears in the doorway, looking even more ruggedly handsome, if it's possible. And tired. He looks so freaking tired.
Darren is waiting for you in the lobby, Belle. Go home and get some rest.
Belle hesitates, but finally agrees with him. She leans down and hugs me gently. I'll see you tomorrow. Get some sleep. You too, Belle. Thanks for being here. With a sad smile, she replies, Thanks for not dying on me. That would have sucked. After the nurse tucks my IV bag in my lap, we start our journey to Noah's room, with Sawyer walking alongside us. I'm used to his quietness, but it feels like Sawyer has a lot he'd like to say right now. We take an elevator up several floors, when the doors finally open and we're let out into a dim hallway. This floor looks like a hotel, not a hospital. The nurse pauses at a door at the end of the hall. Let me go inside and get rid of the visitors. They've been here longer than hospital policy allows. When she steps inside, Sawyer releases a deep sigh. Sawyer, are you okay? You can talk to me, you know, about anything.
I'm not ready to talk, but when I am, I promise I'll talk to you. I'm so fucking grateful we got to you two in time. I don't want to even think about what would have happened if we hadn't.
Reaching over, I pull his hand into mine and squeeze. Me either. You saved me tonight, Sawyer. You saved us. And I'll never forget that. Sawyer's parents come out of the room, and Karen immediately bends down and gives me a hug. Amelia, sweetheart, I'm so glad you're okay. A fresh round of tears begins to trickle down her already tear-streaked face. Owen pulls Sawyer into a hug, and from the way Sawyer's shoulders slump, it must be the first time he's let his guard down all night. The overwhelming sadness pulling at my heartstrings while watching them is surprising. This family has become everything to me in such a short period of time. Okay, time to get Amelia settled for the night. Karen releases me with the nurse's words. We'll see you both tomorrow. Sawyer bends down and kisses the top of my head.
Night, princess.
Good night, Sawyer, I whisper softly, finding it hard to vocalize the words. All I want to do right now is see Noah, but part of me wishes I could stay with Sawyer to comfort him, too. The nurse pushes me into the dim room and closes the door behind us. Only the soft glow from a nightlight and light seeping out from the cracked bathroom door illuminate our way.
Amelia?
Noah's voice is barely a whisper, but my body floods with relief. Yes, Noah, it's me. Can I spend some time with him, please? Of course, but not too long. You both need your rest. I'm going to go get your medicine, and we'll get you settled when I come back. She pushes my chair next to his bed, and I reach for his hand, immediately bringing it to my lips. My tears are falling freely now that it's just the two of us. I almost lost him tonight, and there is no world where that would be okay. He's my lifeline.
Don't cry, baby. I'm okay. But are you?
I'm fine, Noah. I was just so worried about you. Fuck the nurse. With one hand, I hold my IV bag, and with the other, I hold onto the bed rail and climb into bed with Noah. I'm careful to squeeze in between him and the rail so I don't move him, but right now I have to feel him against me. After tucking myself in next to him, I lay my head over his heart. Even after everything, it sounds the same. Strong and steady. It's all I can do to choke down a sob. The last thing I want to do is upset him, but I'm so relieved.
Mel, what happened to us tonight?
His words are soft and unsure. Maybe it's for the best he doesn't remember. We had an accident, Noah, but we're both okay. What's the last thing you remember?
Leaving the club, I think. I remember saying bye to Sawyer and Jay, but it's all blank after that.
That's good. He hasn't lost much time. Maybe it will come back to him, or maybe not. A painful hiss falls from his lips, and I try to get up, but his words stop me.
Don't, Mel. Please stay. You're the only thing taking my mind off the pain.
It's not fair. After all he's been through, he can't even have medicine to numb the pain. His hand lies loosely on top of mine, but his breathing has slowed, and I know he's already-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?